him. Catch, touchdown.
Stop it. Stop it. You can't do this. You can't escape. You can't make these plays. You can't make these throws.
Jacobs cutting back. Getting to the edge. Jacobs is in for the touchdown.
I just don't remember anybody doing what this young man has done so far in the league.
It's fourth down and one.
Patrick did practice the full practice. Unless something happens here, he'll be the guy that plays. And so, but I'm a, you know, you can go whatever direction you want to go with it. I'm going to see how he did after this practice. But right now, that's what it looks like.
Welcome to Fourth and One. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. First of all, Nick, how are you feeling? Because you've been out a little bit under the weather this week. So I want to know, after being day-to-day, are you ready to roll for this weekend?
As I told the listeners on the Twitter thing, we don't ever use the word day-to-day when it comes to any of those references. So to the person I responded to on that, I apologize that Todd even used that word. He clearly didn't see the Twitter feed. And send all your complaints to at Todd Palmer with 1D.
Correct, yeah, 1D.
Send all complaints there. Anytime you ever have a complaint, just send it to Todd.
That's true. I am the friendliest of the two of us, especially on social media. I've never had any issues with being accused of being rude or unprofessional to commenters on Twitter.
So anyways, moving past that one.
Patrick Mahomes is back. Should today be a national holiday, or at least a municipal holiday in Kansas City?
I don't know what Quentin Lucas, if he can make that happen or not, but I mean...
Get on it, Q Daddy.
I know... I really wish I hadn't said that now, because I forgot that you came up with that nickname.
That's right.
Oh,
Quentin and I mean, we're not. Quentin and I are not as tight as you and Quentin are. I still don't think he even follows me on Twitter. But you know, hey, can't win them all, Nick Jacobs.
So, anyways, since Todd has especially gone out of his way to make it a Todd type of podcast to start out this thing. Congrats on that one.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Yes, Patrick Mahomes is allegedly coming back, according to that cold open from Andy Reid. So,
is that who that was?
Yes, it's exactly who that was. Okay. So, we will see how things occur. I'm nervous. I hope that they figure out a way to put him in all bubble wrap, like the guy on Little Giants, like his mom did for him. And Patrick's just going to have to learn to play through it and persevere that way.
So, everything but the shoulder? I mean, because I feel like the bubble wrap would severely limit... The shoulder, the movement of the AC joint there, and would limit maybe his arm strength, potentially affect his accuracy.
I feel like Patrick has tackled a lot of challenges, and this just would be a new level of challenge for him to amaze the world with what he can overcome.
All right,
while
well,
also staying safe.
Definitely bubble wrap the right knee, though, right?
Everything, Todd. Everything.
Wrap it. Okay.
It's important for Patrick Mahomes to be healthy, 100% healthy, and 100% safe. So... all the padding that you can do.
I confession time. I don't have Rick Burkholder's number, but if I did and I texted him that suggestion, I feel like he would say no.
Well, I mean, it might violate some NFL rules, but actually, you would probably talk to Alan Wright, the equipment manager. You'd have to probably consult with Andy Reid, maybe the league, you know. And then, obviously, like you said, Rick Burkholder would probably be involved in that decision. So, there's a lot of moving parts here. But
can we at least agree not to wrap his face, because that's plastic? He's got to be able to breathe, man.
Okay.
All right. We got a concession from Nick Jacobs. But in all seriousness, though, what does this mean for the offense? I mean, Matt Moore's done a good job. 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, averaged 271 yards per game, completed almost 70% of his passes, and went 1-1. I mean, they beat the Vikings last week with Matt Moore at quarterback. Obviously, there's no controversy here. Patrick Mahomes is a better football player, the reigning MVP. If he's healthy, you play him. But what... how much higher is the ceiling with Patrick Mahomes at quarterback compared to what we've seen the last couple of weeks with Matt Moore?
Well, I mean, with Patrick, what defenses have to respect is pretty much everything. They have to know they have to cover every part of the field and be afraid of getting attacked in any part of the field, and to expect the unexpected, and to have to make some impossible coverages from time to time. So there's a lot of teams that they have to... They have to limit how much they help in run support, and they have to play back a little bit more, and they have to play, give some cushion, play some off and soft coverage. Some have to do too deep. And, I mean, they respect the deep ball a lot more, and so they like to give up a little bit more over the field, especially if they know that you're going to beat the press man coverage. So I think teams are going to have to play back a little bit more. And the thing that's going to be interesting is if the rest of the roster can stay up to the par that they were the past 2 weeks, teams are going to have to evolve. They're going to figure out a new way to try to play ball control against that Chiefs defense.
I mean, how excited are you? Look, Eric Fisher already been ruled out again. The good news is he came back to practice in a limited fashion this week, but yep. They're still going to be missing their left tackle. But, I mean, this will be the first time, assuming Patrick is Patrick, bubble wrapped or not. You know, Damian Williams appears to be healthy again. Tyreek appears to be healthy again. Tyreek Hill. Sammy Watkins is back from injury. You know, and Mecole Hardman Jr., fumbling issues aside, he's gotten some reps. He's shown that he can be a weapon in that offense, too. And we know what Travis Kelce can do when he's not dropping the football. So, you know, all the pieces are back in place. I mean, are you excited to see what this group can do if they can stay healthy moving forward and kind of shaking off the rust, getting ready for what we think will be a playoff run?
I think the biggest thing I'm kind of curious about with both offense and defense is I'm very interested to see if the team can collectively keep up to the par we saw against the Packers and Vikings, and can they make that a regular thing and build off of that? And how long does it take?
You're talking about the intensity they played with or in what respect?
Execution, lack of penalties was a great thing to see. The accountability, the focus, the attacking style the defense had, all those things combined. I'm curious to see if they can keep that all up as a team, and then I'm curious to see if the run game can continue to improve, especially if teams are having to play off some more, and if the offensive line can be able to block to that capability. If the offensive line blocks overall to the capability that they did the past 2 weeks, because if they did, Patrick wouldn't have been running around as much as he was. So I'm very curious to see how long it's going to take for Patrick to get his timing back and to get back in sync with the receivers, and if they're able to continue to build off what they did. Because if they did, then they're going to win a lot of football games. If they don't, then we'll see where things go.
Well, it'll be interesting because, you know, like you said, if the defense can build off what they've done the last couple of weeks, and maybe the defense would have progressed this way even if Patrick Mahomes had been healthy, but certainly you have to think the last couple of weeks they knew that there was less margin for error for this football team if they're going to win games without Patrick Mahomes out there. Yeah. So they probably played a little bit different. The offensive line, especially against the Packers, I thought played very well. You know, one of the big overriding concerns, though, I think is going to be Mahomes' health, obviously, and you know he's the good news is he's had a couple weeks to rest that ankle injury, which he's hurt and re-aggravated a couple times since the opener, but there's also some talk that he's probably more susceptible to that kneecap popping out again, you know, since it's already happened once. Let's hear from Patrick Mahomes and how he addressed those concerns.
It's something that hopefully it was just kind of a fluke thing. I mean, I'll always be, I guess, a tad bit higher than the regular person, but whenever you're on that football field, I mean, there's always a chance of injury. And so as long as I'm functioning, I'm moving around the right way, then I think I can go out there and play.
All right. So, you know, I mean, look, I think he's right. I mean, like, when you're at that level, or even if you're not, even if you're just playing a pickup game, you know, at the local, you know, Y with your buddies, you know, you can't be thinking about the injury, you know. I mean, if it happens, it happens, and you deal with it after that. But, so I think he's got the right mentality there. Interesting, though, you know, another quarterback came back this week, and they activated Chad Henne from IR. Obviously, he had the broken ankle in the preseason, but they kept Matt Moore. You think that's the right call to keep rolling with the three vets, you know, and keep Kyle Shermer? You know, obviously, he cleared waivers back on the practice squad as well?
Yeah, I think you need to keep all of them as insurance just in case, so you can keep this season rolling if something does happen. You hope it doesn't, but if it does, you'd like to have those two veterans available. Matt Moore's done enough for you to justify wanting to keep him on the roster, but also having him and Henne be able to help Patrick go through film study and be able to help assess some things, that's something you want down the road overall, and you want to have two reliable veterans that can execute the offense, and it allows Henne time to get back in sync and get up to speed to where they can have the best of both worlds overall, and then Shermer gets to continue to develop on the practice squad. So I'm all for having three quarterbacks on the active roster.
So we haven't seen Eric Fisher, by the way, since week two, the game against Oakland, and he didn't play much in that one even. You know, right. he tried to gut his way through, decided he couldn't, opted for surgery the next week. He came back in a limited capacity, but he's been ruled out for the Titans game.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see whether he can play the Chargers game, but you would like to think, certainly with the bye after that, he could be back for the Raiders game, you know, once they get to the December portion of the schedule. At least that certainly would seem to be what this week's, this week's developments, suggest. How concerned are you, though? Because, you know, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif is questionable. No matter what you think of the right guard, that's potentially two starters down and a quarterback coming back from an injury that cost him two games. How concerned are you with Patrick Mahomes behind that line, especially because we know Cam Irving, not Eric Fisher?
Yes. With Cameron Irving, you're always going to be nervous about him getting beat because he stops his feet at contact sometimes. So you know that that's going to be a struggle. And when he's left out on an island, the guys get on his outside shoulder. He's so fearful of getting beat on his inside shoulder that short sets in some regards. So then the guys are able to do their speed rushes around him in a lot of regards. So, overall, you hope they give Irving some help this week, especially with Mahomes being the one back there. And, the offensive line, collectively, they've done a better job in the past few weeks. So you hope that continues, or that they continue to up the ante even more in pass protection, because if they don't, you don't want to see Patrick running around again like he had too early on in the year.
Yeah. We know this defense has a reputation for being physical, has a reputation for being aggressive, hard-hitting. Mike Vrabel, head coach, comes from the Patriots system, and they're very multiple. They bring – they'll rush four straight up. They'll do twists and stunts in the middle and run those kind of games. They bring a variety of blitzes, bringing guys from the secondary. They love to do run blitzes with the linebackers and things like that. But they'll mix zone and man coverage and really keep the offense on its heels. What are some areas, though, that you think the Chiefs can attack? Maybe some vulnerabilities that especially with Patrick in there, that they can take advantage of and come back from Nashville with a win?
I think running on them is gonna take a little bit of time and a little bit of work, but corner-wise, I'm not overly impressed with the assignments how well they play their assignments. I think they can manipulate them and run some clear outs and open up some of the stuff that they want. And I think they can attack them deep. Outside of Adoree Jackson, I don't think they have as much speed as people would expect. And I don't think Logan Ryan's been there, and Butler was struggling before he broke his wrist. So I wasn't enamored with their secondary. I think there's opportunities to get some explosive plays and really put that game out of reach quickly against them. They are disciplined against screens. And, Chiefs are going to have to be on point because I think they're going to attack them in a multiple amount of ways like the Texans did, and I think Vrabel's going to pull some stuff from that and some stuff from the Patriots last year in the AFC Championships. Probably going to try all of it, but they don't have Jarrell Casey, who's out for the game, so all those things combined, it's not like they're playing the Vikings last week, that's the reality. They're not playing the Minnesota Vikings, so I think there's opportunities for the Chiefs to build a comfortable lead in this game.
Well, and one of the things they can definitely do, screens may be tougher to the outside, but a little play.
Wide receiver screens, they can do. It's running back screens
that
are tougher against them.
But the other thing is, as aggressive as their linebackers are coming forward, that voids a lot of space over the middle, especially if they have to play the safeties a little bit deeper to respect the Chiefs' speed and Patrick Mahomes' ability to push the ball downfield, which means you may be able to just dump right over the top on the middle and make hay that way when you need big plays. So we've seen the Chiefs do that in other games certainly too. So I think there's opportunities to attack this Titans offense this Titans defense. And you don't expect the Chiefs to have trouble scoring points in this one, right?
As long as Patrick Mahomes and the offense is able to get in sync, I think there's an opportunity to make the game explosive very quickly.
Yeah. All right, hey, we're going to come back, talk a little bit more about the defense and whether what we've seen the last few weeks is a mirage here on 4th and 1.
When you're the home of the Chiefs, you give the kingdom what they want. Shows that go inside the locker room and get up close and personal. Any closer, and you need a helmet and a chin strap. Exclusive insight from the man who bleeds Chiefs red. A weekly podcast that's second to none. And starting next year, the preseason games play here. 41 Action News, Kansas City's home of the Chiefs.
Welcome back to 4th and 1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. You know, Nick, this defense, they've played better the last 3 weeks, you know, and you know, when they played well at Denver, you think, okay, well, Denver's not a very good team. Joe Flacco's not having a great season. Glad they did well against the run, but they were able to get a big lead, and, you know, maybe a little bit of the Indianapolis factor from last year set in the AFC divisional game. But when they do it against Green Bay, and I know Green Bay scored 31, but the offense kind of gifted them one of those touchdowns with you know, when LeSean McCoy put the ball on the ground where he did. And then to do what they did against Minnesota, are you starting to believe in this defense?
It's still a wait-and-see approach for me, as it has been. I like where they're headed. I hope they continue to head that way, but I'm not going to definitively say that they've formally arrived. I hope they have. I hope they get to that point. But like I said, I still need to. There's still a lot of season left to prove.
Does going against Ryan Tannehill give you confidence that this defense can make it 4 quality performances in a row?
Yeah, I mean, Tannehill, let's be honest. Tannehill, I mean, I don't think he's much better than Joe Flacco, and I'm just going to be blunt about that. I think he's better than Kirk Cousins, but I don't think he's, you know, I know that sounds weird to say, but I mean, he's on par with Flacco and Cousins in that regard. He's not up there with Aaron Rodgers. You don't have to worry about that part. But if it was Marcus Mariota, this game would be a blowout and it'd be ugly. Tannehill at least gives them a chance, but there's not much that they have on offense, especially they have some receivers,
Corey Davis,
I mean, they don't.
There's nobody that terrifies you on that.
They don't have a lot of speed. They don't have guys that are making a difference at the skill positions. Deion Lewis, the best player they had, they don't use correctly now that Matt LaFleur is gone and he went up to Green Bay, and he's using Aaron Jones the same way he used Deion Lewis last year. They don't use Deion Lewis. He's an expensive backup running back for him now. And if you're thinking of the Titans that played the Chiefs in the playoffs, they don't exist anymore. They don't have the same power offensive line. They don't block the same way. They don't run play action pass the same way. The team they were 2 years ago is better than what they are now. And that's unfortunate for where Titans fans are and where they wanted to be headed. They actually had a better team put together at that point, and they ruined it. So, I mean, I don't think the Titans are a better team than they were under Vrabel than they were under Mularkey.
Do the Chiefs actually have the better of the former Dolphins quarterbacks on their roster? And yeah. Matt Moore versus Ryan Tannehill? Yeah.
I hope Ryan Tannehill figured out the Chiefs are in the AFC West now. Yeah, I remember he struggled with that on Hard Knocks. But no, I mean, overall, I mean, you can, as soon as you pressure Tannehill, I mean, he's like Flacco, and Chiefs can get multiple sacks in this game if they're aggressive against him.
He's like Flacco, but he I guess he's like modern day Flacco. You still think, yeah, of Joe Flacco as being able to throw the deep ball, but he hasn't had that in the holster for a few years. You know, and Tannehill not great at chucking it deep. You know, he's not going to beat you over the top very often. So, especially with the weapons around him.
Yeah, it's just I don't, as I used to say on the South Park show, you're going to have a bad time. I don't see it working out well. I mean, they may surprise me, but from what I saw in the coach's film, I was like, oh boy, the Chiefs defense plays up to par. That game ain't going to be pretty.
Let's hear from Tyrann Mathieu and his thoughts on Ryan Tannehill.
I think he's a veteran quarterback. I think he's seen a lot of football. You know, he can make some great throws, can definitely use his legs in the pass game. And you know, we'll have our work cut out, you know, from that standpoint. You know, I think he's good at IDing certain coverages pre-snap, and it helps him, you know, get the ball out quicker. So if we can disguise, you know, certain coverages and, you know, find a way to get pressure in his face, you know, we'll be doing pretty much what we've been doing the last couple of weeks defensively, and that's pressuring the quarterback and, you know, giving our big guys a chance to, you know, really make some plays.
So that was Tyrann Mathieu talking about Ryan Tannehill and the approach they're going to have. And you know, what's been interesting is, you know, the Chiefs were heavy with, you know, blitzes and bringing linebackers and doing a lot against Denver and Green Bay, and it worked fairly well. But then we saw a different version against the Minnesota Vikings, where they played back, they tried to kind of keep things in front of them. I think they were very worried about Dalvin Cook in the flats and in the screen game.
And then Diggs as well. The fact you held him to one catch is insanely impressive.
Yeah. So, I mean, what's the best course of action here? Because you mentioned before, they're not the power team they used to be. Now, they still line up, and they still run Derrick Henry as if they are a power
team. They still try it, yeah.
But they're not effective at that strategy. So do you just gear up in the middle and expect them to come with that, or how do you attack Ryan Tannehill?
No, I bring five pass rushers, and I try to make him decipher his way through some of the looks, and I switch it up with some man press coverage, and I throw in some zone coverage as well, and then you kind of get him guessing on some of the other coverages that you're going to mix and match, you know, with some man and some two deep over top and some of that stuff, and I think you try some of that, but I think you bring a couple blitzes on some of their longer developing routes, but overall I think you eliminate that run as quickly as you can and let them know that Derrick Henry's not getting started. Because here's the thing. Derrick Henry needs like a seven-yard head start, ideally five-yard head start, to be able to get to full steam, to be able to run effectively. So if you control the line of scrimmage and stop him in the backfield, I mean, he's not that tough to tackle. I mean, he's a strong, powerful guy. It's going to hurt a little bit to tackle him, but not as much as if he's going full steam, you know, after 10, 15 yards.
As far as the passing game, though, I mean, the Chiefs are actually middle of the pack when it comes to things like passing yards per game, opponent quarterback rating, those kind of things. During the offseason, that was the big question, was did they get good enough in the secondary? Is this secondary actually good, or is this a product of the run defense having been bad so the stats look a little bit glossier? Or are we seeing that Matthew and Thornhill and then the growth of Charvarius Ward and then, you know, Bashaud Breeland in there, you know, with Morris Claiborne mixing in. Is this secondary? Are they good?
What's happening overall is the roster collectively understands the scheme now. They're all getting comfortable in it. They're comfortable playing together. They're comfortable in their responsibilities. They're getting better at pattern matching. They had one issue on that flats pass TD in the Vikings game. That was one that, you know, Claiborne, I think he was supposed to. You know, as soon as that running back came out, he became number one threat. Tight end's number two threat. So let's go with that number one threat that you're on the outside against. But I think overall, I think guys have gotten comfortable in the system at all levels, and I think they're playing to the way the coaching staff envisioned. They just had to continue to keep coaching them, and I think you're seeing Brandon Daly's ability pay off on the O line. You're seeing House continue to improve that. Linebacking corp, and then Dave Merritt and Sam Madison are showing their abilities with how they've coached up Charvarius Ward and how
he's been really good. And Thornhill. Man.
So I mean, so those guys combine. I think you're seeing what you paid for in the coaching staff. I think you're seeing it pay off now.
And then, who knew the secret sauce, the missing ingredient to the defensive line was going to be Mike Pinnell? We all saw that coming, right?
Well, I mean, it makes sense because I mean, you know, he's. He's this household name. He's been a good run defender, and he's been a great addition to him, and he's helped give that key rotational piece to where passing yoke and pass rush at multiple spots, and Colin Saunders can rotate in instead of having to be the dominant guy. And Derek Nottie's played out of his mind.
Yeah, he's really stepped
passing
up.
Passing yoke's played out of his mind. Ogba's played out of his mind. I mean, that whole defensive line, they've gotten maximum production out of everybody when they've needed to, and I mean, the sky's the limit for what they're capable of on the D-line right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think Pinnell's kind of been what they hoped Xavier Williams would be, and obviously...
And what they'd hoped McClain would be when they brought him in. Yeah. I think he's... And what they were probably hoping Breeland Speaks could be for him, but...
And maybe he will be next year, but for now, you know, this guy, they signed off the street all of a sudden, and you know, maybe, you know, Joey Ivey's kind of been bouncing back and forth. Maybe he has a role to play yet still. But Chris Jones getting back, looked good. Frank Clark, how concerning is this neck thing? And is this a case where, at what point do you get worried, or with the way the defense is playing, do you just, hey, if he comes back, so much the better. You've got one more guy to stick in there.
I think you're just having to take caution with Frank Clark overall, because something looked like it had kind of been bothering him throughout the year that I felt like he just kind of been playing through, and especially those braces. So I don't know what it is, but I mean, it looked like he'd kind of been playing through something, and you know, it was something that it wasn't anything. I don't think anybody's gonna be able to do anything about. I think it's just the way that it was. So, I mean, you'd love to see him as close to, if you can, you know, give him time to rest and get back to 100% to where he has those monster game in the playoffs. and you kind of slowly pace him in and you don't aggravate whatever it may be, then, you know, then I'm totally for doing that. I mean, this defensive line's proven that they have a full rotation, and this is something I was talking about during training camp. I mean, if you remember the two things I talked about with you, I said you weren't going to know who this defense was till week 8 or week 9 and who their true identity was, and kind of start to see it click. And where are we at right now?
Oh, we're heading into week 10.
Oh, okay. Weird.
So, but week 8, week 9 is, it yeah. seems like they've certainly turned a corner here. Yeah. Week 7, 8, 9.
And so, I mean, that's just the way the game works when you're putting in a new scheme and you're getting guys to buy into what the coaches are teaching them and how to execute it and everything. And I mean, that's kind of what happened with that regard. And I mean, you love to see Frank Clark get as healthy as possible and be as dominant as everybody wants him, expects him to be.
You know what, Nick? You may just know a thing or two about this Chiefs football team. People should listen to you more.
People forget what I say, and then also they're going to remind me of the times when I fall flat on my face.
Oh,
more than normal.
Maybe I'll do that in the C block.
When you're the home of the Chiefs, you give the kingdom what they want. Shows that go inside the locker room and get up close and personal. Any closer, then you need a helmet and a chin strap. Exclusive insight from the man who bleeds Chiefs red. A weekly podcast that's second to none. And starting next year, the preseason games play here. 41 Action News, Kansas City's home of the Chiefs.
Welcome back to 4th and 1. We're in the C block where we try to mock Nick Jacobs and make him feel bad about past predictions that did not work out. I really did. If I had known that this is the way the podcast is going to go, I would have done more research. Frankly, I didn't. So the only one I can think is, haha, you said you wanted Patrick Mahomes to stay on the bench through the bye.
Yeah, that's a terrible desire of mine.
In fairness, I said the same thing.
So that probably wasn't the best example. But, you know, we talked about how...
You did a lot of extensive research on that. Congratulations, Todd.
You know, one of the things we talked about was, you know, as long as the defense keeps playing well, as long as the Chiefs are in a good position, you have the luxury of being able to rest a guy like Frank Clark. One thing that has kind of come into focus, though, here is, I mean... I still think the Chiefs are clearly in the driver's seat in the AFC West, but after the Raiders beat the Chargers on Thursday night, first of all, are the Chargers done at 4-6 with 6 losses in the division, 2 games still to go with the Chiefs? Are the Chargers not only their AFC West, but maybe even their playoff hopes fire roasted?
I'm not going to count them out because they do this every year to where they back themselves up against the wall or where they have like 5 or 6 losses and then they just go on this tear. But I think what the difference is this year, and it showed in the Thursday night game, is that they have such a inexperienced offensive coordinator since they fired Ken Whisenhunt a couple weeks ago, and they decided to make that change midseason in that regard, which you know, they made their choice on that. So you knew who Ken Whisenhunt was.
He got scapegoated for the struggles they've been having, and the bottom line is I think they have a bad offensive line. What are you going to do? They have a bad offensive line and they were down a running back because he was holding out,
and Phillip Rivers, his accuracy is starting to wane, and it showed in that final
game. Well, and his attitude is it is what it is. And you know, you lost one of your best weapons in Tyrell Williams last, you know, because he's not on the team. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why that offense, a lot of reasons to suspect that offense was going to struggle, especially when Okung went down. And I like, hey, good for them. I hope the position coaching change works out.
Well, Chargers, I mean, the problem they have is, like you said, they play the Chiefs twice, then they still got the Vikings and Raiders again. So, I mean, they've made the road incredibly
It's
going to
be hard,
tough.
Yeah. Running the table I just don't see it. And the other thing is, last night, the game against the Raiders earlier this week, that was the kind of game in years past where they find a way to pull it out, and that helps kickstart a roll. Or, you know, they got down big at Pittsburgh and then almost came all the way back. Those are the kind of games that in years past, when they've started 2-4, 2-3, whatever, they all of a sudden start pulling these rabbits out of hats, and next thing you know, they're right in the thick of the division race. the magic isn't there this year. So I think the Chargers are done in this race because they're behind the Raiders and the Chiefs. If it was just one team ahead of them, because they have those two games with the Chiefs, I would say you can't completely write them off, because if they win those two games and they beat the Raiders, they're back in it. They still control their own destiny. I just don't see this team being able to go on that kind of run this year. So are the Raiders a legitimate threat, though? I mean, they got a bye this week.
The thing is with the Raiders is, obviously they play the Chiefs again, and then they have the Chargers again. But that's about the only obstacles they have remaining in their schedule. So.
Yeah, I joked that they have a bye. They actually play the Bengals.
those are the only two obstacles really remaining in their way, unless something else happens. So, the Chiefs are going to have to play. They're going to have to continue to play good ball, because the Raiders are going to be right behind them, just waiting for the Chiefs to stumble so they can take the AFC West. I mean, Raiders are playing better football overall. And it's not just the Chargers thing. They had a good game against the Texans too. And so, it's coming together for them down there. So Chiefs are going to have to – the Chiefs, their next two games after the Titans, they're going to have to bring it against the Chargers to end that and to let the Chargers know that their season's over, because the Chargers are going to be desperate and bring everything that they got. And then the Raiders are going to come – they're going to come after the Chiefs hardcore after that bye week, because they want to prove that they're the top dog in the AFC West, not the Chiefs. So you got two of your AFC West opponents that they're coming for statement games.
I'll tell you what, though. One nice thing is – Patrick Mahomes comes back. You get a game, a kind of a warm-up game against Tennessee. If the Chiefs can win these next three games, they're sitting pretty in the division. And look, if New England picks up one more loss here or there, and then you get to that game where if the Chiefs are one game behind them and can get the win and get that head-to-head, maybe the number one seed's still there for the taking two for the Chiefs.
Yeah, let's.
No, I'm skipping all the way ahead.
Yeah, right.
I've already penciled in the win against the Bears.
Okay, well,
I'm already there.
We'll see how things go when they get to that point, and we can go from there, because there's a lot with the Texans and Ravens and Patriots and Chiefs and Raiders and Bills that are going to complicate a lot of stuff between now and then.
So, job one, go kick butt, take names in Nashville, huh?
I would definitely figure out a way to win against the Titans.
What is your prediction for that game, sir?
I expect them to win, and that's it.
By more or less than if I put the... If I put the line at Chiefs minus 15, taking the Chiefs,
I don't.
That's a lot in a road game.
I don't gamble.
I would take the Titans. That was a terrible line. I'm not good at gambling either.
I expect the Chiefs to win. That's all I got for you.
Yeah, probably 79-0 would be my guess.
Sounds great.
All right. Well, hey, Nick. Hope you feel better. Please don't get me sick, because I don't want to be sick. And, guys, touch this. Be careful touching this podcast, because Nick has been ill this week. We don't want you guys to get sick out there in Chiefs Kingdom either.
That's exactly how that works.
I'm just saying. And by the way, Chris Jones asks you, please don't sell your tickets to the Raiders game, right?
Yeah, that's the Chiefs. The Chiefs players seemed very frustrated
by the skull chants that were going on.
They seemed very.
Is there too much? It's never a winning proposition to take on the fans if you're a player. But do you understand their frustration?
I get what they're coming from, but I don't. As a little kid, I would have been upset by that, because I wouldn't have understood all the adult circumstances that go into decisions and everything.
Like budgets and stuff.
Having jobs and, not having to have budgets save for things.
Also, as a kid, you didn't have a quarterback that you had to go see play, and that maybe was hurt and maybe incentivized you to not use the tickets that day.
I'm just saying, I understand all the adult decisions that go into life now I understand that a lot more now than as a kid, where I'm like, I just said words and things appeared. So,
if Bill Kinney got hurt, would that have been enough for you to sell your tickets?
I think this is the jumping off point at this spot.
I don't know. You know what? I will say this. If Bill Kinney can get a Whataburger in Kansas City, I'll build a statue for him too.
We really need to go at this point.
All right. Say goodbye, Nick.
Bye, Todd.
Well, that time's yours.